live all across the United States and Canada and around the world. We're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I'm going to be harping on this all year long. I hope nobody believes that I am nagging them, although maybe I am. I want you to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. So if you're not reading through the Bible, I want you to remedy that woeful condition immediately. There are people on my staff that I'm talking to continuously who get behind, and I'm exhorting them to catch up so that they stay on track, because the Word of God is absolutely exhilarating. One of the things that I've emphasized is that during the month of January, we read the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus. And I'll tell you what, my daughter Christina was telling me just this weekend how incredibly exciting and dynamic the stories in Genesis and Exodus are. And she's absolutely right. I'm experiencing that again this year as I read through Genesis and Exodus. But I also want you to remember to read through Psalms and Proverbs. The Legacy Reading Plan has you read three psalms a week and one chapter per day in the book of Proverbs. Now, there are 31 Proverbs, and there are 31 days in most months. So today, you would have been reading Proverbs chapter 25. And as you're reading Proverbs chapter 25, you might be immediately reminded of the New Testament. For in Proverbs we read, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat, and if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Where have you heard that before? Well, you've heard that before in Romans chapter 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, and now the words right from Proverbs, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, the reason I want you to read through Proverbs once a month, every month this year, is that virtually every single maxim or principle for successful daily living is encapsulated in the book of Proverbs. And I have just started rememorizing the book of Proverbs. I did so maybe 25 years ago now. And quite frankly, other than the passages that I quote all the time, I forgot some of the Proverbs. So I'm going back with one of my co-workers, and I'm refreshing all those majestic Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding. It is absolutely fantastic to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. And if you do not have the Legacy Reading Plan, it is a specially designed reading plan. We have it now available in a place marker that's fully laminated, fits in your Bible, and always reminds you of where you should be in reading through the Bible, not in bits, but rather in books. You can order yours via the mail. At Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can order via the World Wide Web at equip.org or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone calls. First up, Joe in Mesa, Arizona. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
Hey, amen. I memorized Romans chapter 12 a long time ago when I had hurt my ankle and I was out of work for a little while, and I thought, man, I've got to make some use of this time. I've got so much time on my hands, and I memorized that chapter, and what a blessing that was.
Isn't that a great chapter? It's one of my favorites.
Awesome. But my question is about this new perspective. I'm going to be writing a paper here for class pretty soon, and there's this debate between N.T. Wright and John Piper. I had taken a look at the book on the covenants, I think, from N.T. Wright. There's another one on the fresh perspective. There's one that just came out, Justification. And I was wondering if you can concise that and then maybe give me some other literature to kind of get the feel of what's going on there within that debate.
Yeah, and you're right to say not the new perspective, but the new perspectives,
right,
plural, on Paul, because there are many new perspectives. There are these perspectives communicated by different people, not just N.T. Wright. But the new perspectives on Paul generally claim that there's a misunderstanding of the language of justification. So they say that the Protestant reformers misunderstood first century Judaism, thinking that the first century Jews were teaching that salvation is earned by our works. The new perspective on Paul, according to N.T. Wright, says that Paul was not so much correcting works righteousness salvation, but rather was arguing that the works of the law, works like circumcision, Sabbath keeping, dietary restrictions, and the like, were no longer the badge of covenant membership, but faith in Jesus Christ is the sign by which one demonstrates covenant membership. In other words, justification is more about how you can tell who is a member of the covenant than how one gets into the covenant in the first place. And by the way, there's no repudiation here whatsoever by N.T. Wright of justification by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's not what is at issue here. And the new perspective, in maybe another way of putting it, is that all the types and shadows that you find in the Old Testament are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, so stop practicing Judaizing. The notion is, according to the New Testament, the types and shadows are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the types and shadows are not at issue anymore. The badge of membership in the covenant community is faith in Jesus Christ alone.
Yeah, I was reading John Piper's rebuttal, and I was struggling with really understanding what he had issue with. It seemed like such a minute thing. Is it because of the fact that he holds so tightly to this covenant theology that anything that strikes of pulling that away from him, he's got to attack that?
Well, it could be, but I don't want to oversimplify his point, because his points are made in ponderous fashion, and he is a very able, credible theologian and certainly a worthwhile person to read and grapple with. But sometimes I think when you grapple through this new perspectives, plural, issue, you wonder, what is ultimately the debate in terms of justification? Because there's no debate on justification. There's a debate on what Paul was challenging.
Well, as far as I could understand from Piper's, his elaborating on that, is that he's saying that N.T. Wright is somehow changing. That it's really not that important that we are saved, like, as individuals, more that N.T. Wright's trying to say that it's more about the kingdom, more, I don't know, maybe more of a social type thing, and that's what he's saying. Well, no, wait a minute. The greatest thing is that that we are saved by grace through faith from our sins, and it is about salvation primarily, and then the other ones are implications of that. And he's saying that N.T. Wright is emphasizing the implications and de-emphasizing the actual individual's salvation.
Yes, more emphasizing the covenant community.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, well, listen, there's probably some good information we have at the Christian Research Institute. I just don't have it at my fingertips as I'm speaking with you. So here's what we'll do. You hang on. We'll see if we can put some information into your hands.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks a lot,
hey, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Sophia. She's listening in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Hank. Good evening. I waited 3 years for this.
Oh.
I have to let me deviate for one moment. I don't agree with what you said about some things about the covenant, but, you know, we're Christians, and I truly believe you're an honorable man. So,
what did I say about the covenant?
You said about the Sabbath keeping, they're not necessary still. And Revelation 14, verse 12, tells us clearly, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. But that's not why I'm calling.
Okay, but I can't let that pass, and I will give you an opportunity to get to your question.
I don't have much time with you.
What's that?
I don't have much time with you.
Okay, go ahead. I will let it pass then.
Okay, and then I'll call back another day.
Okay, fair enough.
I just finished reading a book. I've been listening to you for 3 years, and there are some things, 99.9% of the things that you say I agree with, because when you speak them, there are biblical inferences to back up what you say, so that means you're not a fraud. Secondly, I just finished reading this book, Republican Gomorrah, and it just makes me want to puke about how the Christian right has engulfed themselves in dirty politics in Washington. And halfway through the book, I have gone through I've read about some of the most prominent Christian leaders who have great platforms in this country, who have just dabbled nastily with politics in a very raucous and shameful way. Halfway through the book, I started crying. I said, I better not see Hank Hanegraaff's name in this book. And by the time I finished the book, your name was not in it. I have to commend you. Thank you for staying clean. Thank you for staying. This is the epitome of what Christianity is. You don't just talk because you have a platform. You talk. And this book was really dug up with, you know, a lot of things about it wasn't just a book. There were facts to back it up. And I want to ask you, how do you manage to be such a profound Christian leader with such a huge platform, but how do you manage to just not get involved in this?
Yeah, I think sometimes we have a tendency to equate the gospel with political conservatism. And ultimately, what I'm trying to do is get people to be so familiar with the truth with respect to essential Christian doctrine that when they see a counterfeit, they know it instantaneously. And in terms of changing the culture, I'm certainly not suggesting we shouldn't be involved in the legislative process. But I ultimately recognize that the way the culture is transformed is by the transformation of hearts and lives. When the heart is changed, behavior is changed as well. We look at the abortion problem. The abortion problem may not be the real issue. The real issue is promiscuity, a failure to abide by the laws of God. And now, once you have decided you're going to do it your own way, you got problems on your hand, and you have to have a cleanup operation, and abortion is part of that cleanup operation. So ultimately, what happens is the change of heart changes the behavior, and now abortion in and of itself becomes something you would never conceive of.
Mm-hmm. That is, you said it, I mean, can you like make that statement and send me a plaque? Absolutely, because as I read this book, I looked at it and I said, you know, all these ministers are dabbling with these dirty politicians and all these lobbyists, and they're not looking at the real problem. I myself grew up in a so-called Christian home, where certain things were kept good on the outside, but there was serious physical abuse, molestation, and everything. And I resented Christianity because I saw it as a big lie. And as I read this book, I said, this is the same thing that happened in my childhood. But then I read the Bible for myself, and I know that, you know, Hebrews 12 tells us, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the Bible says the wheat and the tares shall grow together. So I understand that even sometimes what people do under the banner of Christianity, you cannot allow that to detract you from the efficacy of who Christ is.
Oh, yes.
So,
you are eloquent, Sophia. I appreciate it.
And I'm a Jamaican. I can go to the Jamaican. I can say the Jamaican talk.
I just appreciate your call today. It was very encouraging to me, and I think you have a true valuation of things.
Yeah, you're awesome. You rock, and we may not be of the same doctrine. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, but you speak truth, and what we're talking about is sound doctrine, not just religious affiliation, because that is so not primary in what we do. We're talking about sound doctrine, and you rock. You speak the truth. And you're not just talking. You have not been in the scandalous book. That means you rock, period.
Thanks, Sophia. God bless you. Come to the station break. We'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. 2010 marks the 50th anniversary of the Christian Research Institute. As we look forward to the future, however, biblical illiteracy continues to be the problem in our culture. Thus, the Christian Research Institute has decided to tackle the issue of biblical illiteracy head-on during the year of our 50th anniversary celebration. But we need you to join us in the adventure. This month, we'd like to begin with the main and plain thing, read your Bible. That is why we have specially designed place markers with Hank's personal approach to reading the Bible in a year. For your gift to the Christian Research Institute, you'll receive two place markers so you can partner with a family member or friend as you follow Hank's personal approach to reading through the Bible. To make a difference with your gift and start your journey, go online to equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Well, now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Derek is up next. He's listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Hank. I'm calling about the New Covenant, and I had read
I thought you'd be calling to brag about the Colts.
Huh?
I thought you'd be calling to brag about the Colts.
Oh, yeah. Go Colts. The Expositor Study Bible that I got from Jimmy Swagger.
Yeah.
And I had read about where it says that the Holy Spirit is supposed to change the Christian that is sinning, but you have to wait for the Holy Spirit to do it. So my question is, do you keep sinning that the Holy Spirit will, and just wait for the Holy Spirit to come and change you, or how do you see it?
No, I don't see that at all, because the Holy Spirit has given us very practical things to be involved in. That's kind of like saying I'm going to be like Phil Mickelson in terms of a golfer. I'm going to be able to hit the ball just as well. I'm going to wait for some magic potion or pill. No, if you want to hit a golf ball like Phil Mickelson, you have to put in the time and effort. It doesn't take just mouthing a mantra. It means that you invest time in the process. And that's precisely the image we have from Scripture. If you want to be Christ-like, you have to be involved in the very disciplines that Christ not only invoked, but engaged during his earthly sojourn. For example, Christ knew the Word of God, and therefore he was able to spurn the temptations of the evil one with the Word of God. Dr. Luke says that Jesus Christ often withdrew to lonely places and prayed because he treasured fellowship with his heavenly Father. So if you want to be successful in spiritual warfare, if you want to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, you have to engage spiritual disciplines. It's not some magical potion that happens to you, but you engage spiritual disciplines. And that's what the Christian life is. It's a life of disciplines.
Okay, so when it says that we're not saved because of by works, but we're saved by faith and grace.
It is true, but we are saved unto good works. We are saved through Christ's faith, through God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, but we're saved unto good works, which is to say that, yes, it is true that the one who justifies us also sanctifies us through the redeeming work of the Holy Spirit, but we are involved in the process, and that's why the Apostle Paul tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand.
Okay. I think I understand it. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. I wrote about this in a book called The Covering, and it deals with spiritual warfare, but also deals with how we resist the world, the flesh, as well as the devil. And again, if we learn to put on the full armor of God, we're invincible in spiritual warfare. If we do not, we're guaranteed casualties. The Covering is a small Monarch book available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Janie is next, listening in Fresno, California, KCIV. Hi, Janie.
Hi, this is Janine.
Oh, Janine, hi.
Yeah. Oh, pleasure to talk to you. Yay. Hey, I am interested in finding out about Arnold Murray. My roommate evidently is really into listening to him, and I'm not able to look up a whole bunch of information. I'm visually impaired. I wanted to find out what you could tell me. I think he has some sort of connection with identity teaching or something, and I don't really know what that is. And so could you inform me?
Yeah, a couple of things. Arnold Murray is not someone that you should spend much time with. He has no clue about how to read Scripture properly. For example, he thinks that there were two original Adams. The Adam who was created on the sixth day of the creation week is the father of non-whites, in his view. And then another Adam, supposedly a Genesis 2 Adam, was created on the eighth day, and he is the father of the Anglo-Saxons, who are basically, in his view, the 10 northern tribes of Israel, who, according to Murray, populated Europe and North America. But this kind of racist thinking has been thoroughly repudiated in Scripture. Just read Acts chapter 17, which tells us from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Beyond that, he rejects the Trinity. He believes that men were once gods before living on earth. In part, as I mentioned, teaches this Anglo-Israelism, which holds that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race, and teaches the serpent seed doctrine that Eve had sex with a snake and as a result of that produced the Kenites. He teaches annihilationism, and the list goes on and on. So he's not a reputable biblical exegete, and therefore people who listen to him for any period of time, if they're not biblically literate themselves, are going to be led astray.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Would you have any ideas of an approach that I could take with her that wouldn't? I'm just thinking she's so strongly for him, and she spends a lot of time watching him on TV. I don't know how to approach her.
Yeah, I think one of the problems that we have today is personality cults, which is to say that someone starts to listen to someone and they say, wow, this is unique, I haven't heard this before, and they get enamored with the person. And the problem is they're not checking that person out in light of Scripture, because as I've said many times, it's not a problem, but it's the problem. We're biblically illiterate largely, and as a result of that, we don't spot the counterfeit, and he's definitely a counterfeit. But to do this with gentleness and with respect, I start at the beginning with what I said. What does the Bible say? Murray says very clearly, and she's probably very well aware of this because it's not something that he repeats infrequently, but he teaches that Adam was created on the sixth day of the creation week. He's the father of non-whites, okay? Mm-hmm. Then on the eighth day, you have another creation of a second Adam, and he's the father of the Anglo-Saxons, or the whites, okay? Now, the first question is, okay, well, that's interesting. He's saying that there are two Adams, and one is the father of the non-whites, and the other is the father of the whites. And well, may sound bad at first blush, but maybe that's what the Bible teaches. So let's check it out. Well, if you check it out, there are commentaries on the Bible, and I don't mean books outside the Bible, but commentaries by biblical writers themselves, and that's why I pointed to Acts chapter 17. Where Paul explicitly says that there's one Adam and every man, woman, and child on the planet ultimately traces their heritage back to that one Adam. From one man, God says, he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. So that doesn't hold true. So the teachings of Arnold Murray with respect to the Anglo-Saxons simply isn't true. Now, you can also do this from a historical standpoint. We know according to the Bible itself, that the Assyrians utterly demolished the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. And what was left in terms of people that were not executed or exiled were people that intermarried with the Assyrians and lost their national identity. So the idea that somehow or other the Anglo-Saxons end up in Europe and North America as the inheritors of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, or the progeny of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, simply isn't true.
Okay.
But I think on a more basic level, what does the Bible teach? Does the Bible reject the Trinity? Or does the Bible teach that there's one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct? Obviously, it's the latter. Now, we may not be able to fully comprehend that, but we can apprehend that because that's what the teaching of Scripture is.
Okay, thank you so much. I was hoping to find out the truth about him because I didn't have a good feeling about some of the things she was saying, and I figured that was Papa telling me. So thank you so much for clearing that up. Yay.
Yes, and that was Papa telling you. God bless you.
Appreciate God bless your you call. Too. Thanks.
Yeah. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Jimmy listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. That's a
Thanks for taking my call. I got a question I've been wanting to ask, not only for me, but for a couple other people that I know, and that I know that you deal with a lot of dealing with spiritual discipline and making sure that people read the Bible, pray, meditate. You know, you even talked about fasting. I guess my question is that I'm one of those people that I don't really like to read, and I don't really have a lot of just natural desire to want to read the Bible. So one of my questions is that I know it's the inspired word of God. I understand that I need to read it, but it just there's no overwhelming desire, I guess. So my question is, do I just need to, you know, I know I need to do it, but is it a thing of, is there something wrong spiritually? That type of thing.
Yeah, well, certainly doesn't mean you're not saved. But look, here's kind of how it works. I can tell you from personal experience, and I probably shouldn't confess this publicly, but I will, in the interest of being transparent and vulnerable. There are many times I get on a plane, and I hope that the person in the seat next to me, A, doesn't recognize me, and B, doesn't start asking me any questions. Because most of the time when I get on planes, I'm tired. Many times I'm jet-lagged because I've been traveling here and there and everywhere. I have a large family, I have a lot going on, and I just want some peace and lack of interaction for a while. And sometimes what happens, and by the way, I'm going to hold you over to the second, the next segment because I want to finish this conversation, but I'll do what I can in the next minute. I sit there and I really don't feel like witnessing, and the person starts asking me questions, the exact thing that I want to have happen. And I give them short answers because I really don't want to engage in a conversation. They ask me another question. Pretty soon I'm in a full-blown conversation. The next thing I know, I'm sharing the gospel with that person and I'm exhilarated. And at the end of that period of time, I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, this was the most glorious event ever. And then I wonder, how could I not have wanted to witness? And I realize that involvement produces commitment. That's what I want to lay out for you on the other side of the break. So please don't go away. You've asked a very important question. We're related to Bible reading.
The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Recently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joined Hank in the studio to discuss the latest issue, which includes a special five-part article re-evaluating our views on the local church. This issue is available in print or digital format, or you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org. You can also call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
It's the first century, and the young Christian church is facing numerous obstacles. But it's determined to not only survive, but thrive. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. As you read The Last Disciple and The Last Sacrifice, you will be transported back in time when the ink was still fresh on the pages of Scripture. You'll take a front row seat in the arena as Christians face death with courage. And you'll be encouraged as John's words from Revelation give hope to the hopeless and life to those fleeing certain death. It will give you a clearer understanding of biblical prophecy as you experience history through the eyes of those who lived it. The Last Disciple and the Last Sacrifice by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Available individually or for a special package price. Call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org.
We're done, Dad. I am not going to keep doing this.
I want you to hold off on the divorce for 40 days. I'm going to send you something in the mail. Take one day at a time, then see what happens.
Every day has me adding a new concept to the way I treat her.
My advice is go all out.
In the last few days, he has fixed me coffee, bought me these pitiful little flowers, and just now called just to see if I'm doing okay.
Up to this point, my heart's not been in it.
This whole love dare thing, it's not working. You can't love her because you can't give her what you don't have.
You gotta beg God to teach you how to be a good husband. And don't just follow your heart. You gotta lead your heart.
Get the inspirational Fireproof on DVD and the Love Dare marriage devotional used in the movie from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart, call 888-7000-CRI or go to www.equip.org. Well, let's return now to the host of The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Return to my call with Jimmy as well. I was talking to Jimmy about my own experience of not always wanting to witness, and then when God gives me the opportunity to be a witness, all of a sudden you find that the Holy Spirit within you is giving you not only the words to say, but is invigorating you in a way that you cannot imagine. The Holy Spirit working through you in the process of touching the life of another person for time and for eternity. And at that point, you cannot imagine that you didn't want to witness before, that you wanted to be left alone. And I think much the same thing, Jimmy, could be said about Bible reading. Involvement produces commitment. It's not that you always feel like reading the Bible, or you always feel like going to church, or you always feel like investing your life in your wife or your kids, but We are called to do that. In obedience, we do it, and then God gives us the rewards. And once we do it and involve ourselves as a discipline, oftentimes we can't imagine that we didn't want to do it before.
So it's basically you put in the work and then the results will come after that.
Yeah, involvement produces commitment. My kids were just telling me the other day, two of my boys, saying we have now taken the Word of Promise audio Bible and we have it on our iPods. And yep. They're listening to it, and it has just transformed them in so many different ways. I mean, they've always been very concerned and interested and stimulated by the things of God, but now they're being intoxicated by the things of God. One of my sons started a Bible study, and it is absolutely amazing the kids that I see coming into that Bible study now, who you couldn't imagine in a million years would be involved in a Bible study, but those kids, you can't keep them away from the Bible study anymore.
Yeah, I actually, it's kind of ironic. I've actually bought several of your books, but I have like the Bible Answer books, and I love to read those. These nice short little tidbits, and I downpod your podcast. I listen to those all the time, and I go re-listen to them, and I listen to this often. I guess it's just you hear so many people, including yourself, saying really getting into the Word, and reading it, and spending time in the Word, and it's just like, I don't have the time sometimes, or I don't have the desire to make the time. And that, I guess it's, I know it's a spiritual discipline issue. It's just, I guess my concern was spiritual discipline versus authentic salvation. Because I know that, I don't want to have a religion. I want to have a relationship. And I know that discipline is important. So, I just was kind of concerned about that area.
Your honesty is a breath of fresh air. I mean, there are a lot of people listening right now, Jimmy, that are saying, you know what, me too.
Well, I know a lot of those same people, and we all have a similar issue. Life is so busy, and we are undisciplined in many areas of our life, not just spiritually, but I have a great desire to be more disciplined, though, and I'm convicted of that every Sunday when my great senior pastor talks about, those areas. So I'm glad it's not a salvation issue. That's always nice to hear.
But you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course you've heard me say it even in this broadcast. It is not a problem, it is the problem, biblical illiteracy. And one of the things, I mean, that's so great about the time in which we live is we have resources, if you don't have it already, like the Word of Promise audio Bible. I mean, it is absolutely fantastic. I mean, you now have audio theater for the mind. You have the sound effects. You have different voices. And it's engaging. And so just another way to get into the habit or the spiritual discipline of going through the Word of God. And it's intentional. It's just as every single day, there's not a day that goes by that you don't say, I have time to eat. You don't say, well, I just didn't have time to eat today. And there's a correlation, because great physical meals are one thing, great spiritual meals are quite another. And if you don't eat physical meals, the proper meals, every single day, you end up suffering the physical consequences, and I think we can say with a surety that what happens physically also applies to the spiritual realm. If you don't eat spiritual food, then you waste away spiritually, you become anemic, and after a while you lose your desire.
Yeah, that's true. You know, one thing you kind of mentioned on there was that there's so many times when you can just kind of listen. You know, my drive home at 5 o'clock when this is now on the radio is my time when I'm not really doing anything other than driving.
Yeah.
But, when you mentioned the whole eating and stuff like that, a lot of times when I'm eating, I'm doing other stuff. I'm multitasking.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really appreciate your broadcast, because I can concentrate on that. I can be reaffirmed in my spiritual walk. I can learn new insights. And I know that your program or any program should not be my sole feeding, but it should be from the Word of God. But it's I don't know if busyness is a factor.
It is. And I mean, it all gets back to discipline. I mean, it's just a whole part of the Christian life. The Christian life is a life of balance. The Christian life has to be a life of discipline. You know, we so often rush into God's presence before our knees have hit the ground. We're already rushing back into our frenzied lifestyle. And, you know, oftentimes it's the same thing with our family members. We want intimacy without the investment of quality time. And that's why relationships fall apart. So Christian life is a life of balance and discipline, and there's no shortcut to it.
Yeah, you're right there. Thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate your time, man.
Hey, I appreciate your transparency. I know you've helped a lot of people.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
You too. And I can't emphasize enough this resource, the Word of Promise Audio Bible. It is absolutely exhilarating. I have to admit, I've gotten away from it a little bit myself just because I'm so immersed right now in reading through the Bible. And, of course, I always do that, but at this particular juncture, maybe it's because I'm going to be 60 this year, I'm reading through it with a renewed vigor that, I don't know, was maybe unmatched in my Christian life. I'm memorizing lists of things, and I'm just engaged. It's just fantastic, and I praise God for that. I'm not trying to boast or brag about this, and I pray that God continues to give me this zeal. It's an unusual passion this year. Maybe it's because I'm promoting it so heavily for you. I want you to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. But again, the Word of Promise Audio Bible, if you haven't listened to it, if you don't have it, it is absolutely worth the investment. You can order online at equip.org via the mail at box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Julian, listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Julian.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
I just wanted to thank you for all the wonderful things you've done through your ministry.
Me
and my father have listened to you for years now. I remember being a kid and listening to you. Now I'm 27, so it says how long we've been listening to you. But I'll just get right to it. I'm in the military, so I move around a lot, and I've joined a church which, you know, I believed was sound in doctrine, and I still do think that they're pastors there who believe in the Word of God and, you know, what is sound doctrine. We recently had a visitor to the church, Dr. Nasir Siddiqui, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's one of the Word of Faith teachers, one of the prosperity, health, and wealth teachers. And I brought this up with my pastor, and it turns out, long story short, he was his mentor was Kenneth Hagin. And I coming from the Northwest, I wasn't really exposed to the teachings other than from your program of Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. So I haven't really been confronted with, you know, what is right and wrong and, you know, and how I can combat the Word of Faith movement. But I've been reading your articles, What's Wrong with the Word of Faith Movement, Part 1 and 2, and so on and so forth. I just received Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, today, actually. And I respect my father 100%. I love him with all my heart. But we got into a discussion about this, and he suggested that I leave the church. I don't want to, because me and my wife, we've made good friends, and I truly believe that there's some dissension in the church, because when Dr. Siddiqui visited, there was a lot of people who were very opposed to his teaching, and I know I'm not the only one who felt strongly that that was wrong and not of sound doctrine. So I was just your opinion. Real quick again, the pastor said he'd meet with me as long as I'd research it further, and I would have his ear because I've been at the church a while. What do you suggest, and is there a way that I can do this in love and not sound, how do I say this, not sound like I'm trying to stir up trouble or strife in the church? And in addition, if you think it's the best, then me and my family leave the church and pursue another.
Well, I think if you have an open door to the pastor, much better that you reach him with your concerns in exactly the spirit that you've discussed on the air, with gentleness, meekness, humility, not with, you know, something that you can hold over his head or hit him on the head with. I think that goes a long way. And who knows, maybe the pastor will take a look more critically at your concerns and be impacted by them. I have found over the years that my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, has impacted not just people in the pew, but many, many pastors around the world, dramatically impacted by the evidence and by the prostitution of biblical Christianity. It's a different gospel. And so I think if you do this with gentleness and with respect, and you know, follow this until the Lord closes the door, I think that you're in a unique position to make a difference. And remember, it's not our responsibility to change anybody's heart. The Holy Spirit does that. But you may be a very usable tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in the process. So don't give up. Stick with it.
Okay, thanks, Hank. That's what I needed to hear. Appreciate
okay. Bless you, my friend. Appreciate your call. And that's what we have to do, gentleness and with respect. It's not about winning arguments. It's about winning people. It's about making a difference while there's yet time and hearing the words of our beloved Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll give you many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, do be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, I'll try to get to your calls as well. The number to dial next hour, coming up right now, 888-ASK-HANK. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for your support. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.